Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Hello, hello. Hey, friends. Welcome to Shift Drink on Full Service Radio, broadcasting live from the Lion Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. I'm Matthew Ramsey, Wiley Coyote, Cheeseburger Life Coach, and Ice Cream Flavor Saver.
Nice. I'm Eddie Kim, proud D.C.ist, Banana Milk Maven, and Highball Benevolent Dictator. Every week we share a Shift Drink and swap war stories from behind the line with chefs, bartenders, bakers, and brewers, and pretty much anyone who touches this all-encompassing industry. This week we are joined by two chefs flanking us on both coasts, bringing Korean food to the mainstream. We have Doki Hong, who is the chef and owner of Sunday Bird, which is tucked behind a bubble tea shop in San Francisco's Fillmore District, and author of Koreatown, semicolon, a cookbook. Very serious. And Esther Choi, who owns and operates three spots in New York, Mok Bar in Chelsea Market and Brooklyn, and Miss You. And is also the culinary director of Gorilla Barbecue.
Yes.
As she also hosts Eater's Kitchen Gadget Show.
She's an overachiever. Yeah. That's what she is.
She has an extra line in her bio. Shop. Oh, come on.
You guys both have a pretty incredible resume. Also, I was looking, Dookie, you were People's 28 Top Sexiest Chefs.
What? You're talking nonsense right now. What are
you talking about? You were in the ranks with Kevin Tien.
Yes, that's your local boy, right?
Local sexy maven chef. Yeah.
We've never met, but we've connected because of that, and
And now you both are cooking chicken, fried chicken.
Yeah,
is there something about cooking fried chicken being sexy?
The universal language.
Hold on, before we talk about chicken, can we cheers this banana?
Oh yeah. So
made by Eddie. Oh, okay.
Can I have some too?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
The Shift Drinks, right now we are recording a little bit earlier in the afternoon than we normally do.
We're double stacking this week.
We're all kind of staying sober so far. Both have an event tonight.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. Thank you so much, guys. Cheers.
So we're drinking Dookie. You asked for
banana milk.
Banana milk. This is. I opened my eyes this morning and Eddie Kim's texted me like, "Hey man, where do I find banana milk?"
And we know what the banana milk you're talking about. It's like at H Mart, and it almost has a little bit of an artificial flavor, like the Runtz banana flavor to it.
Nestle Quick made a banana split milk once upon a time.
Oh.
And that's kind of the flavor I'm imagining without the chocolate.
Matthew, you kind of dress like a banana split right now.
I hate you. The whipped cream, the yellow, and all that, all day.
Yeah, so you both have an event tonight at Makedo, and so I understand that you want to stay a little bit sober.
But since Dookie
staying
sober,
he's getting over a hangover. I'm not much of a drinker in general, but Esther drinks for the rest of the chef, so she's got us covered.
Making love for everyone.
I have to have 8 drinks tonight.
Easily. Esther, you asked for sparkling water, but what's your usual shift drink?
Anything, like literally, it depends on my mood.
Yeah,
but I drink alcohol.
Just put it in
alcohol. Anything that's alcoholic.
Let's say after tonight's event at Makedo, what are you thinking? Like cold beer? Like
oh, tonight
a cocktail.
I'm assuming tonight's gonna be like a wine night, so I'll probably do sparkling and then. But then we're going to Mandu after, so we're gonna probably be drinking soju.
Soju and Jameson.
My god, it's gonna be the death of me.
Danny from Mandu is not gonna let us go without drinking, so. I'm ready for that.
Okay, he had me like drinking all night.
last night.
Yesterday, yeah. Oh,
wow. So. Yeah, so you hung out last night. You were at Chico with Danny Lee and then went to...
Madan. A little bit of a twist, yeah.
So good, both.
And Dookie, you're just getting off an airplane, man.
Yeah,
you gotta catch up a little bit.
You had some fine Michelin-starred food at the airport, right?
At a Chipotle. I do not want to talk about it. Oh, but okay. Long story short, it was a 13-hour endeavor to get here. But I'm so glad I'm here. I just got in a couple hours ago. So wow.
He's a trooper. He's young. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I feel old now, though. We're going off of an hour's sleep. So Esther's going to lead this one. I'll just be in the background here.
You just got to lean into it, man.
One of my annoyances this morning was I couldn't find the banana milk, and there isn't.
Dude, this is delicious. Oh,
thank you.
This is really good. Mine's already gone.
I had bananas at home, but there are no Asian supermarkets within any close distance from this right now as we sit.
Yeah, I heard you guys got a great.
Oh, really?
We have a Japanese market, but
that they don't carry this.
Yeah.
If you had a hankering for something. This is me kind of ranting against DC, but if you had a hankering for something at the Korean market, how far would you have to go? San Francisco and New York. Yeah.
Oh, from my apartment or?
Is it?
I mean, K-Town.
Right? Yeah, New York is everywhere.
It's very accessible, I would say.
Yeah, SF is a little bit, well, if you want Korean food at a restaurant, it's not, well, actually, it's very well known. It's not that good. Korean food in SF is not great. Definitely compared to LA. But if you want to go to the supermarket, there's like one in SF proper. And I used to live across the street from that, not anymore, but it's like a tiny, it's like a really sad excuse for like a Korean market. But it exists, and that's where everyone goes to get their like Korean fix.
Okay. Okay.
Well, and I was reading too, I mean, that was kind of one of the reasons you ventured out to SF from New York, right? Was to kind of fill that lack of Korean restaurants.
Yeah, I mean, more accurately, I just needed a break from New York.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, oh, I want to go to SF and like change. Like, I don't think I'm that like.
Right.
I'm not God's gift to Korean food and think I can change the scene. I love that it happened to be a place there where Korean food is a void. There's a void in Korean food. And hope as a Korean chef, like as a Korean chef in America, you hate hearing like Korean food sucks in the city that you cook at. Right. There's some like level of pride that it hits you a little bit like personally. So it happened to be that way. But the actual reason I moved out there, it was more like need a break from New York, not like, oh man, I really want to go to SF.
New York, I love you, but you're bringing me down, man.
Yeah.
New York, I understand that. I feel his pain.
Yeah. It's she's a monster in New York, but I couldn't stand it.
I mean, I'm committed now at this point. Yeah. So it's I can't really do anything about it, but if I had the chance to leave, I would. Yeah. So,
yeah. But you're both New Jerseyans at heart.
I say New York because it sounds cooler, bro. Why you gotta call us out? I'm from New York.
We're journalists here. We gotta.
That's like Eddie,
actually.
That's like
hey, have some up in Virginia Jersey pride.
And saying he's from DC. So.
No, I tell people all the time I'm from New York, and they're like, when they ask more, I'm like, all right, I'm from Jersey.
Yeah.
That's kind of sad.
West.
Cool. You say you're from Jersey or you say you're from New York?
I always say I'm from Jersey. I'm Jersey.
No, you don't. I see your eaters. It's like I'm a New York City chef. Well, your restaurant's in New York City. 50-50. We'll
yeah, the fucking Garden State.
It's the best. It's the best.
Well, before we kind of dig too far into this.
Let's talk about a couple news items.
It's been exactly one day since we did this, so there's not a lot going on. But one thing we didn't talk about yesterday is Burger King has announced that they're going to be doing the Whopper with the Impossible. I guess they're doing an Impossible Whopper. Starting soon across the nation.
They did a little test in St. Louis, I believe, somewhere in the Midwest.
White Castle is doing it. This is our thing now, is we just talk about
burgers. Well, that's your thing.
Well, I mean, but Impossible Burgers kind of spreading across the country because White Castle was first.
Matthew, did you ever make a kimchi burger in your book?
Yeah.
You did?
Not a kimchi burger. I did a kimchi ketchup.
Author of a porn burger.
Yeah,
a little plug.
It's on Amazon. But there is a shortage of Impossible Burger meat or Impossible Burger fake meat.
There's a shortage.
There's a shortage.
Isn't that manufactured? How is there a shortage of? Like, what do they need?
They're getting too big too fast, man. It's a lot. I mean, literally, they're the veggie burger of choice now across the nation. So, pretty dope.
Legal tender is back at Sweetgreen.
What is legal tender?
Cash. Now I can.
Oh, so wait, does that mean stamps as well?
Stamps, Monopoly money.
Monopoly money is not legal.
Bullions, bartering, all that.
IOUs. No, 2 years ago, Sweetgreen did away with cash at all their locations. There was a bit of a backlash because cash, not everyone is banked,
right.
Particularly in lower income areas. And Sweetgreen actually is rarely found in lower income areas as it is.
Right.
So now they're bringing back cash available at all the Sweetgreens. So I think it's good news.
Pretty awesome, yeah. I think that's kind of it.
Yeah.
Get the housekeeping out of the way.
There it is. Okay, let's jump into the meat and potatoes. The James Beard Awards are coming up.
Yes.
And there are a couple of like Korean restaurants that are actually, and Korean chefs that are being recognized. And I don't know, tell me if I'm wrong, but I feel like it's taken a while for this to get up to this level of recognition. Does it matter anymore? Is it too late to? Because I know Koreans are so prideful about our food. It's like we cook for ourselves, and we really don't really care that much about getting all that recognition. But now it's happening all of a sudden. We see Automix up in New York,
yeah.
And then we have Corey Lee over in San Francisco.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Chef Corey,
was he nominated as well?
Outstanding.
He's always
chef.
Cement that name, and he's always. But yeah, I think it's more something for me. What you were mentioning, I think Korean chefs being on that list isn't something that's new per se, but I think Korean restaurants being represented is newer. Bennu's always kind of been on there, but yeah, like Atomix being on there, getting recognition as a Korean cuisine restaurant is a little bit newer. But there's a lot of talent, you know, David Chang were Korean that got recognized, not necessarily doing Korean food. So yeah, I think like you said, Eddie, I think it's kind of time. I don't want to say long overdue, but it's encouraging for chefs like Esther and I, for sure.
I do have to kind of be the skeptical crazy Please. Person and be like, well, is Atomix really a Korean restaurant?
There she goes again. I'm going to give you the PC answer. She's just like, what like we actually talk about off air.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's modern Korean, right? It's influenced by Korean cuisine. So
I think JP is definitely Chef JP of Atoboy, Atomix. If you go to Atoboy, it's definitely a Korean restaurant. You know, I think that word, and I think Esther and I kind of fall on different paths on this. Like, if you go to, it's pretty traditional. A lot of her flavors are from her grandma. Like, it's like she cares about authenticity. Like, is a big word and tradition, right? For me, maybe chefs like Chef JP, like we take that and we stretch it to as much as we can stretch it, right? To a point where tradition, I would categorize Esther, she's young, but I would categorize her as a traditionalist and like someone that wants to like keep the authenticity of stuff. I'm kind of on the thing where I feel like authenticity is slightly overrated. My thing is just cook delicious food, and if it has Korean influences, great, but I'm just going to cook food that is hopefully delicious. But it's two schools. Mm-hmm. I still consider myself.
I mean, is it because it's Automix, it's a tasting menu, for all intents and purposes, it's still in a European kind of structure?
I just
of
think
dining.
That's JP's style. I mean,
it's fine dining. Yeah. You know, like in the end, it's like fine dining. Can it be kind of categorized as like a type yeah. of cuisine? Like, oh, can Korean food be fine dining? So it just gets, I guess, confusing. But, you know, it's something to think about.
Yeah. And I think also, I mean, just even from yesterday's discussion with John, like authenticity can mean different things when you're, you know, Taiwanese growing up in LA and what those experiences growing up meant to you. And like he was kind of staying true to his childhood flavors, which were, you know, his LA experience, essentially.
100%. I think that's what it is. I think now chefs are more, I think prior 10, 20, like when I was starting cooking, it was more like, what are you, a Japanese chef, a Korean chef, a Italian chef? Like you get categorized by cuisine. I think now everyone's a little bit smarter about food. Everyone kind of knows it. They're like more food savvy than I would say 10, 15, 20 years ago. So now it's like, oh, that's like Chef John Yao's food. You know, it's like kind of the food isn't necessarily, yes, there's like Taiwanese tinges and Korean tinges here and there, but it's like we're putting our story, our personality.
Exactly.
It's more like, you know, a lot of restaurants here, Chef Kev Kev, Tien from here, it's like, it's his food, right? And to categorize it, yeah, there's like
another super sexy chef.
Yeah. He is. Yes, he's very sexy. yeah. Dude, that never, like, I'm waiting for that year to be up and I'm the new guys come in.
If you look up Matthew Ramsay in the Washington Post, there is a very sexy picture of him wearing a silk robe and holding an eagle.
Hot dang.
It's an owl.
An owl? Okay.
It's like, get it right, bro. Owl.
So let's not.
Yeah, let's not. Yeah, let's we not all call have the kettle black. You're not excused from this sexy nonsense right over here. But I mean,
like even like your chicken, you've admitted it's like it's not Korean style chicken. It's not, you know, dredged in sauce. It's more of a kind of a Southern style.
Yeah, it's what I like to eat. I think I love Korean fried chicken. I love like Southern fried chicken. I grew up in Texas and Alabama, so it's a part of me. So I feel like I can't cook like how they do in Korea, right? Koreans may look at my food and be like, dude, that's American food. And
this is also come from the guy who wrote Koreatown, the cookbook.
In America. Koreatown's in America.
Still in English.
Very awesome cookbook, by the way.
I appreciate that. And yeah, so that's why I think it's just, I want to keep the food super personal. If people get it. My job is not to hopefully, like, oh, you need to understand my food. It's like, I'm here to serve you, and hopefully it's delicious. If not, go to Chef Esther's restaurant. Yeah. Go to, you know, John Yaz's restaurant. There's so many restaurants, so many talented chefs doing awesome things. So,
I mean, I would say that my food is also not very, I mean, it's traditional flavors, but it's not really traditional either. You know, it's like Korean ramen was always an instant, you know, instant thing in Korean culture. But, you know, I created a new category of this cuisine. So yeah, I guess when it comes to like fine dining, I always get kind of like, well, yeah, of course he got an award because he's doing fine dining.
It's because she's,
you know, like
she's,
where,
let's just call it like she's like, all right, by the way, I just want to say Chef Esther is like my like older sister. Let's just say sister because I don't want to age you.
Oh, like wow.
But you guys are twins. That's amazing.
I love this person next to me. She's like incredibly talented, but she always like gets like really like she hates on like fine dining because she just like the
and like for me, my thing's like not fine dining either. You know, it's because I don't really enjoy eating fine dining food because it's just not my type of. I'm like super Ajumma.
She's being super nice right now. It's hilarious to watch.
Ajumma is like, you know, older.
We'll see the rest of it come out later tonight. Yeah.
I can't help it. I'm like super like old soul, and I like eating like how my mom eats and my dad eats and my grandma eats.
Yeah, some of us are born like, already 80 years old. But you both, I'm going to jump up a little ahead, but both of you were actually, the episode hasn't aired yet.
What are we doing?
Bon Appetit.
Oh, yeah.
That was like one of the best days of my life.
Yeah, because you were.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm a fan.
But you two were paired up together. So Bon Appetit, it's produced by Vice, I believe.
Viceland.
Viceland. And it's a cooking show, cooking contest of sorts involving weed.
Without giving spoilers, can you guys talk about that at all?
I'll just give you the spoilers.
Yeah, I'm joking. For those of us without passwords, you mind just telling the whole thing?
Well, Bon Appetit, I got called on to do a season one, season two, long time ago. Mind you, I'm not a user of cannabis. I think they like that for some reason. They're like, oh, that's kind of new. So my whole thing is I don't smoke, I don't drink. I'm like, seriously, when I say it, I'm like the most legit, most boring chef that I know. So we went on, but it was cool for me because it's a learning experience. Like, how do you cook cannabis? People were talking about it. That relationship turned into like now they're in season, they're doing really well. They're on season
three. I have that cookbook as well.
Season three.
And they did a really cool format where it's like three chefs kind of competing. And I was like, oh, I gotta cook with my friends. It's a Korean themed. I was like, the only two chefs. Like when I think Korean food and chef, like I think Esther, right, in America. So we called her up. Han Huang. My friend Juan, Han from Portland, our friend, he came down. And yeah, it was just an awesome time for us. And we told them, it was really Viceland, just credits to them, Bon Appetit. They kind of broke their format for our episode because our whole thing was I don't like competing with food. My whole philosophy on that, we're not going to go into that. But we're friends and we just wanted to cook. So our whole philosophy in that episode, without giving too much away, is... we just cooked for the judges, and it was an awesome
Korean
time.
Potluck.
But there was an elimination.
Touche, my friend. Touche. Yeah, and Esther did an incredible job. It was just fun because I got to cook with my friends, and you get to cook with cool people. And the room is very chill and relax. And,
I mean,
it was a great time.
It was one of the best days of my life just because it was crazy. Like, I mean, I'm a huge fan of cannabis.
Yeah.
I mean.
Huge fan.
Huge fan.
Card-carrying member.
Yeah, so like my eyes went like, wow, this is amazing. And then there's like a cannabis producer that helps you kind of use all these different things where I had no idea all those things even existed in like cooking with cannabis. It's just intense and insane.
The production was legit. Like the first season that I went, or the second season, it was just like we went to somebody's house. It was like it wasn't like, well, it was like 5-6 of us like putting it together.
Might as well be called like Cooking with Gary, the drug dealer.
And then it was still fun. It was still like whatnot. And then this time around, they got a full production team. Like people, I was like, wow.
They were
like,
really
legit. Yeah, it was really legit.
Very
and they
legit.
Took care of us, and Esther definitely had fun.
I mean, be real, roll me a joint. So
yeah,
like that. Amazing. That's you don't get that very often in life. So
I heard it's amazing.
What is it like not smoking and preparing something that you have like, so like procedural wise, like
I just look at it as an ingredient
because you didn't like I'm guessing you didn't taste it.
No, I tasted and whatnot. Like I don't, to be honest, like legit, just real talk. I love the smell of like cannabis and marijuana. Yeah. I just don't like smoking in general.
Sure.
But I just treated it like an ingredient, so it was just like, you know, ingredients with side effects. And
I would say it's very like scientific as well. The cannabis producer really helps you kind of like
dose
and, everything and make
that's,
sure
that's
you're
the problem I always
everything.
Have is figuring out how to dose these things.
Like how do you eat an edible without like being on the couch blasting. And not being
I once infused beef lard with cannabis and then ground that into a patty like for a burger. Mm-hmm. And
dude, you're the burger guy, huh?
Yeah.
Like, every other conversation, like, comes back to burgers.
But it's like at the end of the day, like, I just like I have no idea how much cannabis I'm actually grinding into this burger, and it was pretty awesome. But
The producer was there right next to us, like, dude, okay, don't add any more.
Yeah,
stop right now. Like,
it was cool.
It was really cool.
That's awesome.
Is that the biggest limitation, keeping people from really incorporating cannabis into their cooking? Just the whole dosage issue. I'm like with alcohol. Yeah, we can cook with alcohol, but we generally know exactly how much effect it's going to be.
I don't know.
Cannabis. It's
confusing.
You have to calculate it.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Also, you have to know what your limit is. Like, if everyone has different limits of like how much they can take. So just because like I'm eating like 5 milligrams doesn't mean that cut guy can eat that and feel the same way, right? So. Right. It gets very confusing.
That's
but
true. Yeah.
It's still
like
awesome.
She's a tiny Asian girl. Like the same dosage wouldn't affect me, you know. So like,
what? You don't.
Isn't that how that works? I thought it was like alcohol. No, it's not a competition. It's like no, I can smoke more than you. I was like, I know you can. 100%.
All right, the competition has suddenly been unleashed in the studio.
It wasn't a competition, guys. It was beautiful.
Yet people got eliminated. So just, I mean, you know.
She did really well. Let's just say.
That's the spoiler I was looking for. I think this is a good opportunity to kind of maybe dip into our first game, Two Truths, One Lie.
Two Truths, One Lie. Gotta have
this. Now, they're both shaking their heads, which means I'm guessing they're not prepared for this.
I wrote mine. Esther Choi is very prepared.
Dookie homework. Is definitely not.
Dookie's going to think of his on the fly.
Esther's all right,
Esther, hit us.
Oh, just go for it?
Yeah, okay. Lie to us.
If I wasn't a chef, I'd be a doctor. Okay, that's the first one.
Oh, reaction's not. What? Oh, sorry.
Wow.
Continue.
Was that a. Okay. All right. I see how it is.
You want to be a doctor or you would be a doctor? Very different.
Ooh.
Who wants to either be? Or. Whatever.
It's very different.
Oh, is it very different?
You're saying two different things. Would you want to be a doctor? Is that what you're saying?
Okay, yeah. Okay, let's keep it at that. Okay.
Okay.
I'm opening my fourth restaurant this year.
Whoa.
That seems plausible.
I had over 15 jobs in my life.
Over 15 jobs.
Categorized jobs like jobs, when you're like 12 like yard work jobs
like,
or
like I consider a real legit job that I got paid for over 15.
Okay,
I can see that.
That's a good one.
I've also seen pictures of you like slicing into a watermelon with like doctors around you. So I'm like, imagining,
oh my god, yeah.
I'm imagining this is true.
What was that from?
I don't know what that was.
From
wait, so we're trying to pick
chef.
The we're trying to pick the lie. What are we trying to?
Yeah, we're trying to pick the lie.
Which
so
one's
two
the lie?
Of those are truths.
Yeah. Well, you thought all of them were lies?
I can make an argument for all three.
Dookie's going to make this very easy on us.
Yeah, like, I don't think I understand this game.
But you're also very incredibly ambitious, and I can see you. You already have three restaurants you have, and you're the creative director of another restaurant.
We all get a guess, right? We all get a guess.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I guess so.
Okay. Eddie, what do you think?
This is funny.
I'm going to say the doctor.
Is the lie.
Lie.
Is the lie.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that, too. I'm going to go different, just because I'm going to be different. Where are we at? We're in May. We're in April, May. Oh, so you could open one in 6 months. I think the 15 jobs is real. I'll just go with the... that's probably real. I'll go fourth restaurant.
Okay. The false,
you're
the lie.
You're checking your notes?
I don't know why I'm checking my notes. I don't know why.
Are you lying about lying? What are you doing?
Okay, the lie would... I would never, ever, ever be a doctor.
Yes.
Nice. That was so obvious, but so like... It was like so in my face. I was like, no, I can't be it.
I mean, come on, let's be real.
So is lawyer then.
Yeah, what
would I would rather be a lawyer than a doctor, I would say. I just think that doctor is not really me. I hate like medical stuff like in general.
Oh, yeah.
And I was a pharmacy major and I hated it. I literally hated it so much. So
John went into excruciating detail about a cut yesterday that like immediately puts me out of the, like even close to a doctor.
No. I was pre-med, so I've had my hands inside people.
Oh, damn.
To put it in.
That's
like,
that's kind of weird.
It's like, no, that was
100% weird. We're going to let that one hang. But that means you are opening up a fourth spot.
I guess so, but I haven't told a soul, so.
You just told all people.
I know. I just told like everyone
Your
now.
Secret is safe with us. This is the second big
I mean,
break.
It's okay.
What's it? Where and what? It's in New York?
It's
Let's get
New
it out,
York,
people.
And it's going to be another monk bar, more like Chelsea Market style, but in Midtown, which Midtown has always been my goal to sort of like be in just because the foot traffic is insane there.
Insane.
And I want to make money.
Cool.
Everyone needs to make money.
Great.
So.
We were talking about that on the
radio. What is the style at Chelsea Market?
It's more pickup. Oriented, so it's like more pickup to go, a lot of like high volume,
right.
And like that sort of style, and it's in a food hall. So this one is in also going to be in a luxury food hall. It's going to be more upscale, but nonetheless still like takeout oriented, doing volume. So
awesome.
Hopefully we could do like 400 or 500 covers here because it's Midtown.
Holy fuck!
Wow,
that's a lot.
And that's gonna be that's gonna be this fall. So
that makes my head spin. Well, congratulations! That's really exciting.
Congratulations, Cersei. I'm not ready, guys.
No?
This game is so hard. I didn't know the premise of this game. I was like, what's...
It's kind of hard. That's why I had to like think about it.
Well, the whole idea was this is a game that Matthew plays when he was in the kitchen over at Rose's and other places.
Yeah, Pineapple Pro, yeah.
I mean, is there a game that you play?
I don't play games in
you
the
don't
kitchen,
play games. All serious?
I'm all business.
Serious about your chicken?
I'm all business. let's do it. Jesus, here we go. So you're trying to tell... Two of them are truths.
Yeah.
One of them is a lie. You guys are trying to pick the lie.
Mm-hmm.
So... Oh. One... I'm so bad at this game. I am a... state champion... bowler.
Lie.
I'm not finished. I'm not finished, guys.
Don't look at his eyes.
You know what? That might be true.
I'm not good at this game. I'm a state champion bowler.
That might be true because he's from Jersey, and Jersey boys like love to bowl for some reason. So I don't know.
A legendary chef threw away my knife.
Oh.
Allegedly.
Who's the chef?
Allegedly threw away?
I don't know the premise of the game. Let's change it. I once worked a 30-hour shift.
Okay.
And but it could be like if it was 28, I would still win, right? But people don't do it like that. Anyways, I worked a 30-hour shift. I'm a state champion bowler, and I once swam 5 miles.
These are like all endurance
straight.
Things.
Yeah. So they're all lies.
Way to show off, God.
Yeah. See what I did there?
One's the most muscular guy in my kitchen.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, if he's the sexiest guy, he must be able to swim like 8 miles.
I think some words, we should all pick a word that you cannot use for the rest of this. Sexy is my word that you guys cannot use anymore.
Okay, so I'm guessing you worked a 30-hour shift. I'm guessing.
How's that possible?
A legendary chef threw out your knife.
No, that's wait, not that, one. That, I scratched it. I scratched it.
I'm you're not a state bowler. You're not a bowler. You're not a bowler. You're not a bowler.
So that's your lie?
That's your lie.
That's your lie.
I would say that it's like the 5-mile swimming thingy-majiggy.
Mm. Yeah.
You don't swim.
Oh, yeah. I can't swim. Oh. See, she knows it too well. Yeah. Yeah. I'm a state champion bowler. And then.
Fuck yeah.
I like the 30s. Yeah. Hell yeah. Jersey, Leone High School, 2007. Oh, look it up. My God. It's not online anywhere. And yeah, I worked the 30-hour shift at JG one time. And
what does that even mean?
So at John George's, you do a doubles Thursdays and Fridays. So a double is an 18-hour shift, and then they do overnight because they're in a hotel.
Oh god!
So it's like a Thanksgiving, snowy. The overnight guy didn't come, so I was like, "Oh, I'll volunteer," because I was like 19. I was like, "Yeah, chef!" Like anything. I was like, "Yeah, chef." So I was like, I volunteered for that. So I did a double, did the overnight shift, and then did my morning shift, and then it came out to about 30 hours.
And slept for 4 days.
So
after
crazy.
That.
Slept the next 2 days.
But he was also 19.
Yeah, exactly. 19. You can 10 years like ago, anything. Dude. So it's like it's possible, but now I'm like, I'm a piece at 8. 8 hours. I'm clocked in. I'm done.
Yeah. Well, let's take a quick step out for a second. We're gonna cut to a break, and when we come back, we're gonna dive a little deeper with these two. We're with Dookie deeper. Hong and Esther Choi, and you're listening to Shift Drink. Welcome back. You're listening to Shift Drink. We're here with Esther Choi and Dookie Hong in town doing a little Maketo event this evening. Not little. It's 8 courses of awesomeness. Yeah. Each chef's doing their own course. Where do you guys fall in the line of courses tonight? Do you know?
I don't know why we weren't given.
I think the beauty is that
Eddie knows
know.
More than yeah. the chefs. So. Yeah.
This is going to be Eddie. It's going to be a Top Chef competition in itself.
Is it going to be?
Is it going to be like that?
You tell us, Eddie, because I don't know.
Dookie doesn't do competition.
I don't.
That's fine. You can.
I can bow.
Bowl your way through.
You know what? What I love to say always is life is a competition, and you may not know it, but you're always competing.
That's true. My God. Yeah. That's true. I'm getting to know you so well.
I just completely disagree with that statement. But, that's why we're like brothers and sisters. You know? It's like, it's not a competition, though.
Yeah, I mean, so you guys obviously know each other well. How did you guys get introduced initially?
When was the first time we met? It was a while ago, both New York City chefs. Mm-hmm. So,
Korean. I remember you came to Mock Bar when I first opened.
Yes.
I remember seeing you from the corner of my eye, but you didn't say hi to me.
I didn't know you.
You were shy.
No, I didn't. I don't go up to like restaurants and be like, hey, my name is Dookie. And, like,
why not?
That's just not my MO. I just enjoy the experience and that was it. I felt like, why would I introduce myself? Do you go introduce yourself to like
sometimes? Yeah, really? I do actually. Hey, if I know who the chef is and if they're Korean,
yeah,
we always say hi. Each other. Always. I just feel like it's like
we talked a little bit about being in the limelight, especially with, like with our two chefs yesterday with John and May Lin. I mean, for the most part, you both are in the limelight more so than some other people, like. How do you navigate that in your everyday cooking life?
It's the host, the eater, kitchen gadget.
Oh, I don't know. I just kind of just be me, I guess. I don't know. I just don't let any. I don't know how to answer that. I just.
What was the question? How to handle the limelight?
Well, it's,
I wouldn't know.
That's your question, Mama. I'm not really sure how to.
It's like it's almost like being a chef isn't enough anymore. You're wearing several hats, and it's social media. It's doing TV stuff. It's doing podcasts with us.
It's promoting your own restaurants, so you're making more money. Yeah. You're feeding your employees. I mean, mm-hmm. something you kind of have to do.
In the end, I'm a chef because I love cooking, and I'm obviously. You know, that's my thing. I love it, but I'm a business owner, so I have many mouths to feed. I have a lot of responsibility, and I know that you have to kind of like spread your wings so that everyone can, you know, benefit from it.
I mean, I think it's an easy industry to get burnt out in, and to get caught up in the business side of things. Esther, from what I have read and understand, you kind of stay connected to the act of cooking through just like cooking for friends and kind of reconnecting with your grandma's cooking, specifically kimchi.
Yeah, Miss Yu is named after your grandmother, right?
Yes, although Miss Yu is like nothing like my grandmother at all. It's like complete opposite, which is kind of ironic, I guess. But I mean, I still try to, you know, cook as much as I can. It's very challenging though, because it takes up a lot of energy and time, and you know, I have to use that energy and time dealing with the businesses. But in the end, I still love to be connected with my creative side. So I started a YouTube channel recently. Yes. And that's literally just because...
Choy Bites.
Yeah, Choy just Bites. For fun. I love video, and I think it's super creative process, like the whole thing. So I produce all the videos myself, and it's something that I can kind of like connect to my creativity, like beyond just restaurants, because sometimes just doing restaurants, you get so burnt out,
right?
I mean, there's only so much. Well, I could go like keep opening restaurants, but that's like I'm gonna die. you know, so I have to like do all these other fun things that keep me going, like
restaurants aren't fun.
Yeah, because restaurants are not, honestly, they're not fun at all. So if you're trying to like,
we're so different. It's not, because like we chat and like we like I love her so much, but it's so cool that you can like have mutual respect, but have such opposing stances on different things. Like I got into, my first love is restaurants.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like, I'm not one of those, oh my gosh, like heirloom tomato. Like I'm not one of those, like for her, it's like, oh my gosh, look at this beautiful kimchi and all that. Like I appreciate that because it enhances the restaurant experience, but because my whole thing is like, the restaurant as a whole and the experience, I see cooking and good food as a part of that. Mm. For her, it's the good food and the restaurant is the house to that. So it's like different things. I think our approach is very different. I think overall, we both try to create cool experiences. The end goal is the same, but the approach to it is very different. So it was really interesting kind of hearing that it's like someone just so stark different, right? When she's like, restaurants are like getting burnt out, I was like, no, I want to do this till the day I die. Like I would love to, and it's not even a number thing. I just kind of love.
Wow, concepts. you want to operate restaurants till the day you die.
Till the day I die. Yeah.
You just want to be one of those old guys just sitting in your your hopper stall.
Shit goal. Like I'm not even joking. That's why Sunday Bird happened. Was like my retirement plan is just frying chicken out of a stall. One guy like me.
So you're already retired then, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm starting my retirement plan. Yeah.
You're aiming for season 2 of Street Foods on Netflix.
hopefully. But dude,
I have like major respect for that. I mean, operating restaurants for the rest of my life, that is not in it for, like, that's not my goal. I want to cook for the rest of my life, but not necessarily always in restaurants. And operating restaurants, especially in New York,
It's tough.
It is.
That's a bruiser.
It's very hard. And I don't really operate the restaurants anymore. I have people that operate it for me. Mm. So, yeah. I mean, I guess I would love to cook for the rest of my life. Just
but
maybe
the nitty-gritty operations is not something that you're interested in.
I just think like people really piss me off.
We're so different.
I mean, that's one thing that you see in this business. You see, I don't know, I'm working front of the house right now. And like... you see both sides of the spectrum. You see how weird and horrible people can be, but you also see how just like generous and nice and just like people at their best, like enjoying food and, you know, sharing memories. Like, you see both sides of that, and you hope at the end of the day that it kind of levels out somewhere in the middle. Mm. But it's just like, you see all spectrums of life in this business.
Absolutely.
Yeah, especially when you have a lot of attention. I was having dinner with someone last night and for a pretty well-known restaurant, and she was actually kind of welling up in tears and saying, like, you meet some of the worst people and they say some of the worst things. And especially for a food that people aren't so familiar with, they might be well-intentioned. They might not know what they're saying, but there's sometimes they're saying some of the craziest stuff, like, like, please no dog in the food and blah, blah, blah. Oh, it's like, that's not even funny, but people honestly still believe that.
And, that's just racist, but, you know.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. But I think you have a little bit of that responsibility on your shoulders to maybe debunk some of those misconceptions. It's like an added responsibility on your shoulders that, sorry, Matthew, that burgers don't necessarily have.
Whoa. I love how we're always going back to burgers. I know, like, every other topic is burgers. I love it.
It is hot out of the gate here. So you do kitchen gadgets for the eater.
That's fun.
This is a, you get, I mean, we'll tell, I guess,
I get hated on like crazy. And you know what? It's for me, it's like the most entertaining thing, reading the comments. Because people are like really crazy. But it's like really funny too. It's really entertaining.
And so you're kind of, you're breaking down gadgetry and kind of single use. What do you,
Unitasker. We do everything. So anything that has to do with cooking. We'll do like either like a competition between like myself and the gadget, or we'll do like, or we'll just like straight test the gadget completely, or I'll have special guests on the show that's like specializes in a certain type of gadget that will cook with me and like test the gadget together. And you know, it's just like really laid back, chill, and super fun.
I mean, chefs are notorious for hating unitask gadgets.
Unitaskers.
The garlic press.
Yeah.
I like the garlic press. I love the garlic press. And I hate like every gadget, but like I love the garlic press.
I think it's the most ridiculous thing ever. I'm sorry. But I'm on the school of there's no place like you, home kitchens, obviously home kitchens, professional kitchens is very different. But yeah, in a professional kitchen.
I mean, there's this one unitasker that deveins and peels and cleans your shrimp in one motion. And I swear to God, it works.
Like, I think I've owned just that move one. Quicker. Yeah. Move faster.
You can't beat that gadget. You just can't. It's one motion and it's like cleaned, deveined.
And I thought you did one with a dumpling press.
Oh, yeah. It was me versus the dumpling press. Of course I won.
Yeah.
I always win. Mm.
And then yesterday you just put a new episode for a combi oven, a steam oven.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a countertop steam. Yeah, it was just bad.
Is that good?
Yeah. Usually the real expensive gadgets suck. Like, and that's my thing. I'm like, why would you pay that? Like, it's ridiculous.
So here's the thing I've been looking at recently, and I've been seeing it make a splash everywhere. Spanish cooks are using it a lot, but this is a Korean gadget. The Uku double boiler. Have you seen this?
No. What's that?
So apparently it's used for, it's a pressure cooker, but it's a double boiler, but it's used for like, you can make like black garlic or even like black bananas. Like,
But you can do that in your rice cooker.
Okay. Yeah. So I mean, I have an Instapot for that purpose specifically, but apparently it's starting to make it. Alinea has one now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, if Alinea has one.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, stupid. Alinea has one. Oh, you know what? That actually sounds pretty good.
So it's like super high-techy?
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's super low-tech, but it's being used in really high-tech places.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Farrar brothers are doing it.
I will check that out. So maybe you'll see it on a future episode.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, my goodness.
Wow, you gotta give credit.
You can test it against
give
Matthews.
Credits to Matt.
Totally. Maybe I'll have you come test it with me.
There we go. Well, I think we should probably cut to our final segment.
Yeah. Let's do some rapid fire.
What's that?
Time for rapid fire.
Rapid fire.
All right. Now this is a series of questions we ask semi rapidly, and this is kind of just tip of the tongue, whatever first comes to mind. Favorite Brad Pitt movie?
Oh, Meet Joe Black, of course.
Of course, she says.
He was so hot in it.
What's that? What's that thing with the? Oh my gosh, the tank.
Oh,
no, no, no.
The tank?
No, no, no. The Inglorious Bastards.
Oh, yeah.
That's that was good, too.
I want my scalps.
Yeah. Yes. Love
that one. What is your worst habit?
Ladies first.
I say like a lot. I really hate it. And I'm like trying to stop, but it's really hard. So I'm a valley girl in the end. No, seriously.
A Jersey girl.
I'm a Jersey girl, yeah.
Valley girl. My worst habit is I really like air conditioning. I'm not like a, I don't know. I want to change. This is why I'm just saying it. It's not a habit, but I'm not an outdoorsy person at all. I really love air conditioned rooms. And if I never have to go outside, I'll be like, okay. I go to a city and never do like nature stuff.
Yeah.
And I'd be so happy. You know? So I'm trying to change that. That's why I'm just calling it a habit, but
so,
it's not.
So there's no foraging, wild foraging in your future.
There's some people that do it better than me. Let them do it. Love air conditioning.
What's the last food you microwaved?
I have easy. It's Chinese food. That's what I eat.
I love eating cold Chinese food.
Nah, I'm bougie. No. I heat it up.
I'm bougie. I heat it in the microwave.
Yeah, come on now.
I made like a truffle egg salad for the Game of Thrones.
Bougie.
And I microwaved the bread for that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
You made it?
Made the what?
You made the egg salad?
Yeah, of course.
Damn. Oh, no.
It's egg salad. It's so easy.
Last time I cooked in my kitchen, I couldn't tell you the last time I cooked in my kitchen.
Oh, man. I cooked.
My kitchen's so clean in my house.
Really?
So clean. It's like, wow, you're such a chef. You have such a clean kitchen. I was like, yes, because I never use it. It like, hasn't been touched since I moved in. It's awesome.
In honor of the Avengers movie that came out this weekend, 3 hours long, if you have to go pee, do you hold it or do you miss a part of the movie?
I didn't watch it and I'm not like a real...
But what would you do?
Oh, I definitely will go pee.
You're not an Avenger Marvel?
No.
Oh.
Sorry.
Oh, that almost broke it right there. Like so many disagreements, but that, I mean, come on. No, you hold it. Don't disrespect Marvel.
You have different. To pee.
It's a cinematic masterpiece. You're in disrespect. $1.3 billion. Get a urinary infection.
I mean, you can watch it again.
Oh, she doesn't understand. Sorry. She doesn't understand.
First celebrity crush.
Do you have one?
Not really.
Esther Choi. Esther Choi. Celebrity crush.
Stop it. Don't mock me.
It's her first one. It's my only one. I don't really have one.
Oh, I know. I have someone. I don't know if you guys will know. H.O.T. I mean, it's like the 90s K-pop. Like,
she's being real.
Like, I'm being whipping out I was K-pop like groups. Hardcore fan. Like I was like in the fan club. I bought all the like mittens, all the gear. Oh my entire room was plastered with like H.O.T. posters. And yeah, it was really that's crazy.
Level. That's next level.
Hot.
K-pop.
Esther Choi.
Oh, Esther Choi. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Have you watched Kitchen Gadgets?
Oh, it's the bomb, bro. God.
Ugh, I don't know what you're doing by watching Kitchen Gadgets.
I'm not a big celebrity person. I don't even really.
Okay, if you were to open a restaurant with one dish and playing one band or musician and serving one beverage.
Oh, shit, that's a great question.
Very much like your hawker like a hawker stall, one dish. What would it be?
That's a very good question. Esther, please go first.
Wait, one dish.
One dish, one music, one drink for the rest of your life.
Okay. All right. It would definitely be some sort of like 90s K-pop music. Like that's like kind of mellow and like seriously, you want to like cry listening to it. Plus makgeolli, which is like the Korean rice wine, and some sort of like pajeon or you know, Korean pancake type of thing.
Fuck yeah.
Very I'm old school. I'm like grandma Jeez. Over here.
Don't date yourself on this. I try to save you on that one. It's like, oh, my sister. One dish, one. I have a musician. I can't say song, but one musician.
Musician.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And what was the other one?
Drink. Beverage.
Oh, 100%. Drink, banana milk. I love. You don't even. Where's my keys? I have a banana milk keychain. Fried chicken, obviously. Any form of fried chicken. And. Anything that's like a baby making music. Brian McKnight.
I listened to Ray J on the way here. I went all throwback. First of all, I was in a 13-hour freaking endeavor, so I like went all the way Usher. I like hip hop too, but yeah, baby making music.
Okay,
just like, yeah.
Your Uber driver must have been really weirded out.
It's in my earphone, dude. I was like, yeah, nah.
Well, we know you two have to prep and do some things, so thank you for taking the time to join us.
Thank you so much, guys.
For literally coming off the airplane and joining us in the studio. Listeners, you can revisit this week's episode or previous episodes on iTunes or wherever you grab your podcasts, including the Spotify and all the social medias at ShiftDrinkDC.
Don't forget to review us on iTunes or give us a 1-star review on Yelp. Yes, we are on Yelp. But make sure you give 5-star reviews to our two guests. A special thank you to Jeffrey Lamoureux and DJ RegTech for our music. And welcome back us next week for a new guest. Thank you, Esther. Thank you, Dookie.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook @FullServiceRadio. Thanks for listening.